Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. We are holding on Kuf Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, three lines from the bottom. So back to Matonois, which in our context refers to the three sections of the animal which you're meant to gift to the Kehanim. The Zroya, L'Choyayim, B'Keva, forearm, lower jaw area with the tongue, and the Keva, the that stomach portion. So the Pasuk says, give it to a Kohen. V'nosan la'Kohen. What about a Kehenes? A female Kohen. A daughter of a Kohen, who's now married to an ordinary Yisrael. Is she entitled to receive matanis? Says the Gemara, surprisingly. Yeah, Ula, in fact, Ula himself would do that. Have a Yoiv, he would send matanta, he would send the matanis, likahanta, to a female kohen. Rashi says, bas kohen, afilu, eshes, Israel, a woman from a Kohen family, even though currently married to Israel, in which case, for most practical matters, she's considered Israel like her husband. But regarding Matanis Kehuna, she's entitled. Eisfei Rava, Rava posed a question, Lu'ula. So when it says Kohen in the Pasuk, it covers even a female Kohen? There's a Alocha, Mishnah Maseches Soita, that there's a fundamental difference between a mincha that a Kohen will bring and a mincha of a Yisrael. By a Yisrael, after the Kmitza portion was separated, the rest is Shirayim, which is going to be eaten by the Kohanim. Not so a Minchas Kohen, which is totally incinerated on the Mizbeach. And the Mishnah draws a line between a Minchas Kohen, a mincha that a male Kohen will bring, totally burnt on the Mizbeach, versus a Minchas Kohenes that a female Kohen will bring, which does not have the same halacha. So you see, they're not equated. Minchas Kohenes is Ne'achelas. Her Minchas eaten by the Kohanim. Only Minchas Kohen is Eino Ne'achelas. So you see clearly a distinction. V'yamr's Kohen. Now, if you're going to tell me that regarding Matanis, when it says Kohen, Afilu Kohenes, it covers even Kohenes, how does that Mishnah work? V'oksiv, how could you eat the leftovers of a Minchas Kohenes? If Kohen and Kohenes are synonymous, V'oksiv, the Pasuk says, V'ochol Minchas Kohen, Kol Altiyah Le'tiyachel. A Mincha V'Kohen / Kohenes, Kol Altiyah, is completely burnt on the Mizbeach, not to be eaten. Amar Leisi responded, Rebbe, says, Rebbe, mitunach. Some places Rashi says, from your load, tuna is a load. Basically, I'm going to turn around your argument. Rashi over here says, Higatich, I have reached back to you. So basically, he says, there's a big difference. Because by the Mincha, it says, Aron Uvonov. It says, Hakrev Oysa Bnei Aron. Bnei Aron is a very specific term, which in fact rules out the female members of the Kohen, you know, tribe. So there is a special stipulation. Aron Ibon of Ksubim B'Parsha, but over here by the Matanis Kuhuna, it just says V'nasan La'Kohen, which can cover even a Kohenes. Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Shmuel, the following brisa was presented, which actually disagrees with Ula, that you cannot direct the matanis to a kohenes, because kohen means v'loy kohenes, not a kohenes. How do we know? V'yilmoid sosum min ha'mefurash. We will derive the implied from the explicit. Meaning, just like by the Menachos, it explicitly rules out the Kohenes, as we explained, because of Bnei Aron. Likewise, the term Kohen by the Matanis, which is not explicit, it's not clear, it's Sasam, requires clarification, we will compare and learn from the other one. And just like by Menaches, it's strictly the male Kohen, the same with Matanis. However, Dvei Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov Tana, in his base Medrash, they presented a Braisa which is in line with Ula, which allows the Matanis to be sent to the Kohenis. Kohen, Vafilo Kohenis. How do I know? Although typically Kohen means a Kohen, not Kohenis. But if you look closely at this pasuk by Matanis, there's a double miut, a double exclusion. So, as we embark on the sugya, probably is wise to have a look at that pasuk. Some of you have it on the side of the Gemara. This is the pasuk which speaks about the Matanis. V'zeh yiyah mishpat ha-koyhanim. So we have one reference to koyhanim. Me'yes am, right, they take it from the am. We dwelled on this point yesterday. Who's the am? Yisraelim, perhaps Levim. They are obligated. Me'es zoiv chia zevach, from those who shecht the carbon, the shecht the animal. And we're going to learn later that we learn from here it's the shechet who's really responsible to look after it, even though it's the owner paying it out. It's his carbon, it's his gift, but the shechet is the one who has to look after it and ensure that it's done. The pasuk continues, im shoir im se, whether it's a bull or it's a se. So it's specific to behemoth, only not to chayos. V'nasan lakoyen. So once again, we have the word koyin, which is a repetition. It said koyhanim. Again koyin, right? Hazroya. Valachayim v'akeva. So we know when we have two exclusionary terms, it turns it around and becomes an expansive connotation. Have a miut achar miut. It's a double miut. And what happens is, the pasuk is telling you, it's not actually a limitation, it's an expansion. Ve'ein miut achar miut el l'rabbis. So we expand it to the koyanis as well, and she's entitled to receive matonis. In fact, here comes a list of great men who actually relied on this concept. And although they themselves were not Kohanim, but since their wives were, and they were entitled to receive, so they would have the Matanis on account of their wives. Their wives received, and then they would share it with the husband. Because let's realize, Matanis Kuhuna, in this context, doesn't have Kedusha. Zroya Al-Khaya, it's not a holy item. It's a financial, you know, gift to the Kohanim. So once it's received by an eligible recipient, such as a woman Kohen, she can share it with her husband, no problem. Rav Kahana, who himself was a Yisrael, and his wife a Kohenes, ochal b'shvil ishti, ate on account of his wife. Rav Papa ochal b'shvil ishti, Rav Yemar ochal b'shvil ishti, Rav Dibar Avna ochal b'shvil ishti. Am Ravin, Amali Mirema. Mirema told me. The conclusion to this whole discussion, halacha lemaisa, is as follows: Hilchas Akav Zeid Rav, we pass him like Rav. Discussed yesterday that a Levi is exempt from matanis because perhaps he's considered non-am, so we can't, you know, forcibly extract it. Hamoitz Machlev Raya, so he's potter from matanis. Hilchas Akav Zeid Rav Chizda, we pass him like Rav Chizda, who says that if the matanis have been destroyed, eaten, nobody's obligated to repay it because it's really an ownerless entity. That's today, that even a kohenes can receive matanos. One more point, Adabar Ava, who says, Levia Sheyolda, a woman who's from a Levi family, even though currently married to a Yisrael, if she has a firstborn, that son is exempt from pidyon haben. Buna Potter, Mechamish Shlom, you don't have to have the pidyon with the five shlomim. Because in this regard, the son is considered like the son of a Levi. And by the way, the same would apply to a son of a Kohenes, even though she's married to Yisrael. The son is potter from Pidyon HaBen. Tanu Rabbanan. The pasuk stipulates that matanos apply to behemos. Im shoir, im seh. What about a chaya? Exempt. What about a crossbreed? Tanu Rabbanan. Hazroya, melachayam, akeva, nehagam, kalayim. It applies to a crossbreed between two types of behemos, goat and a sheep. No problem. And also, Koi. Koi is a crossbreed between animal and behema, behema v'chaya. You're still obligated to hand over the matanis from this half and half animal. Rav Lezer, I mean, no. Kilayim abam in ezim ana rochel. A crossbreed between two behemos, so both father and mother are behemos, so the offspring qualifies for matanis. Chayv matanis, because, look, either way, he's a behema. But if it's a crossbreed between behemah and chaya, which case he has an element of chayatum, which is exempt, the koi, potem ramatamis. And the Mar explains as follows. So way back on the Fine Test, we had a long discussion, if you recall, a long, intricate, detailed discussion regarding this matter, a crossbreed, regarding Kisui Hadam, the obligation to cover the blood after Shechita, which is exclusive to Achaya. On the other hand, regarding Matonais, Zroi L'chayim Akeva, which is exclusive to Behema, what happens when we have a crossbreed. So there we had a Machloikis as well, right? Chacham say Yurchayev in Matonis, Rav Elazar exempts. We spoke about Kisi Hadam, it's an uncertainty, so you can't do it on Yom Tov, right? Michti, look, the Kaimelon, we've concluded earlier back in that, you know, in that sugya, Dil'in Kisi Hadam u'matonis. Then regarding that Mishnah discusses Kisi Hadam, regarding that discussion about Matonis, which is subject to Machloikis, between Rav Elazar who exempts, Chacham who obligate, what exactly is the scenario we're talking about? It can only apply in a case as follows. So we're not really going to delve into all the intricacies of that back and forth. We had that discussion way back, but here we're just going to sort of surmise. Ela b'tzvi haba al atyosh. It's exclusively to a case where a chaya tzvi, some sort of deer-related species, haba al atyosh interacted, mated with a female, you know, a goat. So it's a chaya with a behema, and we have this kvi offspring. What are the factors at play? Ubein Rablezer, Ubein Rabbanan, Mesapkel, both Rablezer and Rabbanan are dealing with the same uncertainty. Do we reckon with the father element, which is the chai element, or do we ignore him? How profound is his contribution? Ichayshishin lezer ha'ab, are we concerned about the father's contribution? So now there is a chai element injected in this offspring, or perhaps the mother is primary, we just ignore the father, ein chayshishin for the zerav. In which case, the offspring is fully behema. So, it could be fully behema, could be only half behema. Now, if he's half behema, does that give him any yichis? Any behema lineage? And the next question is, when the pasuk specifies se, like by matonis, it needs to be se, behema, right? What about a half behema, a partial behema? Does that qualify, or does it need to be 100%? Ubasev, afilu mikta se kamifli. The machlokes is, what about a partial se? Perhaps only a full se. Is chayve matonis, not a half a se. And that's what the machlokes revolves around. So everybody has the same suffix, do we reckon with the father or not? But since there's a chance that we do reckon with the father, in which case this kvi is only a partial behema, is that sufficient to trigger the chayve matonis? Mar savar chacham say, yep. Okay, a partial behema is still a partial behema. Let him give half to Matanis on account of the half behema within him. Mar Savar Sev Afilu Mikta Sev, that's the Chachamim. Umar Savar Sev Afilu Mikta Sev Lo Yamrin. Rabbi Elazar says, no, either it's all or nothing. It's not such a thing as half a Sev. So he's completely potter. Because perhaps he's only a partial Sev. You can't force the owner to pay off the Matanis. Okay, ask the Gemara. But still, how do we understand this? Bishleima Rav Elazar the Potter. We fully understand Rav Elazar's opinion. He exempts him because on the chance that it's only a partial behema, you're exempt. Because Savar he holds, se needs to be fully se. But let me tell se. So he's exempt. El Rabbanon. However, according to Rabbanon. True, ni navdi kasavri, se, afilu mitzah se. It's true, they hold that even a partial behema qualifies. But ultimately, he's only a partial behema. Ultimately, you're only chayv half the matonis on account of the half behema within him. Palgo lishko, the kohen should be entitled to take only half of the matonis, 50%, on account of the behema side. V'idach palgo leimalei, regarding the other half, the owner can say, have a nice day. I see raya. First, you prove that he's fully obligated. How would he be fully obligated? De'in chayshishin l'zera'av, that we don't reckon what the father is contribution, in which case it's fully a behemoth on account of his mother. If you do that, bring a, you know, DNA sample, bring your rayas from the Torah, substantiate it, and I'll give it to you. You'll take it. So bottom line, why does he have to pay the full amount? You're right, says the Gemara. It's only 50% that he has to give. Amar Avinu Barachia, my chayiv namidika Amar. True, when the Chacham say you're obligated, it's no more than 50%. Chayiv b'chatzi matanis. So that's good. Ask the Gemara, but we have a Braisa which seems to say that it's fully obligated. Me'asiv Rabbi Zera. Koi, okay, so this Koi crossbreed is an interesting creature. He has within him elements which are halachically in line with behema, halachically in line with chaya, perhaps like both, like none. He's an interesting creature. Yesh beidrachim shavan lehema, regarding some halachis, he's in line with a behema, and some with a chaya. Yesh beidrachim shavan lechaya. Yesh beidrachim shavan lehema, lechaya ul behema. In some matters, he's equal to both. Ketzad, for example, chalboy, asur kechal behema. You can't have the fats, just in case it's a behema whose fats are asur. On the other hand, v'damai chayiv l'chasoi is k'dam ha'chaya. You have to cover his blood after the shkita, just like he would be a chaya, because he has a chaya element within him. D'racham shavan l'beima l'chaya. In what matters is he equated to both? Shadamai, his blood is off limits, like both. V'gida, the gida nasha, asur k'beima v'chaya, is forbidden like a beima v'chaya. And here's the punchline. V'chayav Bizroya ulchayim akeva. Akeva, you have to forward those parts to the kayin, like a behema, for blood's a point. So it sounds like, according to Tanakama, which is the Chachamim, he's fully obligated because of his behema element. If it's true that it's only 50%, it should say that in the Braisa. Chay v'chatze matonis, it should have said half, not full. You're right. That's what it means. It's just, you know, to keep the wording consistent, so on account of the other halachas, let's say the blood, where it said it's asur, so here it says it's chayev. Because there it's fully asur, so it just said fully chayev, even though really over here it just means 50%. Just to keep it clear and consistent. I did the ton on account that of the braisa mentioning chelba v'dama, which is completely asur, lelemasni chatzi chatzi, there it's not relevant to say half and half. Can't say half the chelev is asr, which one, right? And the dam is certainly fully asr. So on account of that terminology, so we hear as well by the matani that rather than saying half, it just says chay, but of course, certainly it only means half. But here comes a new opinion regarding the Chachamim's position. Ki asr Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Ravin arrived from Eretz Yisrael, he quoted Rabbi Yechanan. Surprise, surprise. Koi le Rabbonon chai b'kul matanis. According to Rabbonon, by a koi, you're fully obligated in all the matanis. Why? A special pasuk. Lasanya. The Braisa focuses on this pasuk that we already discussed. It says, imshur imse. It could have just said shoyer. Why imshur? Matam aloyma imshur. Why add the word im? Le Rabbi, says Hakalayim, to cover this crossbreed, and he's fully obligated. On account of the behemah element within him. Now, it says imse. What's the im over there for? Se, matam olami imse. It could have said se, why imse, l'rabi sakoi. So sorry, let's backtrack. Imshar l'rabi sakalayim was to cover a crossbreed between two behemoths. Next one, se, matam olami imse, now it's l'rabi sakoi. Here it's covering the koi, which is a crossbreed between behemoth and chaya, and teaching us that he's fully obligated. Now, Rabbi Lezer, ha'im lamali, according to Rabbi Lezer, who exempts a koi from matanis, what's the im coming for? For something else, b'yde l'chale, coming to split. Don't think matanis only applies when he shechts a shor and a seh. That's why it says im shor, im seh, right? One or the other. Okay, so according to Rabbi Lezer, the im shor is to include the crossbreed between two behemoths, and im seh is l'chale. No, v'rabban l'chale k'mnolo, according to Rabban, this im is unavailable. It's already been used for koi. How do they know to split? Nafklu mes zayv chayazevach. The pasuk continues, right? Ves zayv chayazevach donu shech zikar di behema. Zayv chayazevach is lashon yachad, singular. So even one shchita triggers the matanis obligation. No, Rabbi Lezer high mes zayv chayazevach mevli. What does it do with this pasuk? What's it coming to teach us? Miboylek the rav. It's coming for rav. The marava. Hadinim atavach. Although, technically, the owner of the animal is the one giving the gift, but who has to look after it? Who's responsible to ensure that it's actually executed? That's the tavach, that's the butcher, the one who does the shechita, as we're going to see in the next Gemara. Okay, so in summation, a big chiddush today. But even a kehenes is eligible to receive matanos. In fact, many chachamim would actually conduct themselves in that manner. They would eat on account of their wives. But a machlok is regarding the chiv of a koi, kvi, kevi, however you pronounce it, which is a crossbreed, behemon chaya. Rav Elazar exempts, chacham obligated, according to some it's 50%, according to some fully. Says the Mishnah. Bechor shenis arav b'meah. Bechor is a firstborn. An animal which has kedusha. And therefore is exempt from additional obligations. Rashi says, ein kedusha chala al kedusha. He's not going to be obligated in zroya l'chayayim v'keva, even if he's, because he already has kedusha, is saturated. There are no additional obligations that will be applied. So this bechor, even though he's blemished, he's going to be shechted anywhere, he's exempt from matanis. What if a mix-up occurs? He jumped into a barn, into a full herd of 100 animals. We don't know which one's what. And they're owned by 100 people. So each owner can say, look, this animal, this happens to be the bechor. Have a nice day, Mr. Kaya. I'm not going to give you anything. This is animal's potter. And the next fellow will say the same thing. So they're just going to send them for a go-around. You can't extract unless you can prove your case. So everybody will be potter if it's separately owned. If it's fully owned by one person, the whole herd, then he'll only get one exemption on account of that bechor, wherever he is. He can choose the fattest animal, say, this is the bechor, and I'm exempting myself from matanis, but the rest will be chayv. So that's the case. Bechor shenis arav b'meah. A bechor that jumped into 100 animals, which are non-bechoris. B'zman shemeah shechten es kulon. So if they're all being shechted by separate people, have a nice day. Poitrim es kulon. They're all exempt. Because each one can claim, I'm the one that landed the bechor. But echad shechted es kulon. There's one owner doing them all. Poitrim lo echad. We exempt him on one. And the rest, he has to pay up. Next part of the Mishnah. Shechted l'koyin. We had this yesterday. If there is a guy owned behema or a kohen owned behema and one does shechita on behalf of them, potter ben amatonis is exempt. Because it's only me'is ha'am. A kohen and l'habdol guy doesn't qualify. Let's say a Yisrael, a regular Yisrael, became a partner in an animal owned by a kohen or a guy. In which case it exempts the entire animal from matanis. But in order to avoid any misunderstanding and tzorcha yirusham, he has to make a siman. He should tag it, he should indicate that in fact this is a unique situation. It's partially kohen owned, so people don't think that he's just siphoning off the matanis. V'im amar chutz min ha-matanis. Suppose a kohen sold his animal to a Yisrael. He says, I'm selling to you except for the matanis, I want to retain that. Okay, so that's his. Potter ben matanis. So the Yisrael doesn't have to give it away. It's retained by the kohen. It's still his. Amar mecher li b'nei me'ah shel para. A Yisrael walks into a butcher store. He says, you know what? I would like to purchase the inside of this para. Voye ben matanis. And part of that is the keva, right? He purchased the whole package for $1,000. Who's obligated? No, it's not the kohen. He has to give the keva to the kohen. And he gets no refund from the butcher. There's no reduction from the price because the butcher can say, look, I never sold you the keva. That belongs to the kohen. You paid for the rest. Not for, but l'kochen imenu b'mishkol, suppose he purchased it by pound, $10 a pound. So basically he charged him for the keva as well. Now he's entitled to a refund. He has no right to sell me something which belongs to the kohen. No, it's in the kohen, so the customer forwards it to the kohen and he goes back to the butcher for a refund. On that part, now, going back to the first part of the Mishnah, it was a mix-up. Bechor jumped into a whole herd, and if they're owned separately, each fellow can say, mine is exempt. What do you mean yours is exempt? Look, either it's a bechor, so the whole thing belongs to the kohen, or it's a regular animal, so part of it belongs to the kohen, the matanis. How do you walk away scot-free? I mean, either way, you're somewhat obligated. Vamai, why are they totally exempt? And theoretically, the kohen can come onto him from two directions. A double argument. Monavshech, right? But later they can tell the Yisrael, look, it's fully a bechor, it's fully mine. If it's not the bechor, all these are entitled to the matanis. How the matanis say? So basically, how could the Yisrael just walk away and exempt himself? We turn to my place. Amar v'isha. We're not talking about a very simple case. We're talking about actually a complicated case. This bechor already went full route. He had been given to a kohen, and it got blemished. The kohen turned around, and sold it to Yisrael. He can do that. Who can eat it whenever, wherever? So the kohen's out of the picture. But the animal's exempt from matanis because actually he still has residual, you know, bechor effects to him. He's still a bechor. He has that. So now every owner can very well say, look, my animal, he's the bechor. In which case, he's pater from matanis, but there's no obligation to forward it to the kohen. He already had it. He sold it to Yisrael. So there's no kohen claim involved at all. That explains why he could exempt himself from matanis. We're speaking that the animal already was delivered to the kohen. He sold to Yisrael when it had a mum. Continues the mission. Hashecha lekohen leib kechavim, pater min matanis. So if you shecht a kohen owned animal or a goy owned animal, you're potter. Now why focus on the shechet? Just say simply, the animal of a kohen is potter. But listen, you should just say kohen v'ayvid gichavim p'turim ramatonis. A kohen and a goy are potter to give them ramatonis from their animals. Amra arava. The point of the mission is to emphasize that in general, who's responsible to ensure that it's delivered? So you say, Meres, we learn from here hadin imatavach, the obligation, the claim relates to the tabach, although he's not really laying it out, it's the owner, but he has to look after it. Darash Rava. So how do we know that a kohen is potter? It says Me'is Am. The kohen receives it from the Am, from the regular, you know, ordinary Jews. V'lo Me'is HaKehan, Kehan, not obligated to give matanis. K'shu Omer, Me'is Zev Chia Zevach. But when the pasuk continues, and indicates that any shaykhet, not only the am of the zayfche, any zayfche, what does that tell us? That sometimes even a kohen is obligated. If he's a commercial butcher, yeah, from personal behemoth, he doesn't have to give away the matanis, but if he's shechting on behalf of other, of course he has to forward their matanis to a kohen, but Omer, we learn from here, even a tabach who's a kohen, he's a butcher. He's shechting his animals for commercial purposes. He has to give away the matanis kohen. Huge chiddush. So, personal exemption he has, but if it's in a commercial setting, he has to pay it up. In fact, we have a story, Ishbizichnei, the Rab Tavla's host, Rab Tavla's place that he would stay by. He was a kohen, and a poor kohen. Kohen hava. Rab Adachle Milsa. He had a hard time with Parnasa. He's going through some financial difficulties. No, so he came to the Rebbe for a bracha. Also, came to Rabbi Tavla. So Rabbi Tavla gave him a bracha and he gave him some advice as well. Amalei says, look, you're a kohen. It's a great thing. You can actually earn yourself from parnasa. How? Listen to this. Zil ishtatif. Go offer a partnership. Bahadei tabach Yisrael with the Yisrael animal owners, the animal, you know, the butchers, as follows. He said, look, when I partner with you, I'm going to exempt you from matanis. Okay, so give me matanis. I'm going to save you $50 an animal. Okay, I'll take $25. So they'll gladly offer you a partnership. You can make money like that. Demigo demafter matanta, since your presence, your partnership, will exempt him from matanis, which grants him a $50 deduction per animal. Mishtatvi ba'adach, they'll partner with you. So that's what he did. Rav Nachman wasn't very pleased with this arrangement. Chibi Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman obligated him to give the matanis, even in this case. Amalei. So he says, what do you mean? Rabbi Tavla was the one who advised me to do so. Apparently, it does work. But Rabbi Tavla, patron, he exempted me. Amalei says, no way. Zil apik. Quickly, go release the matanis. Give it to the kohen. Be loy otherwise. Ma piknelach Rav Tavla mu'unach. I'm going to take Rav Tavla out of your ears. Meaning, I'm going to negate all his sources. I'm going to override him. Other places Rashi says you're going to be put in cherem. So serious business. Also, Rav Tavla Come to Rav Nachman. So Rav Tavla, upon hearing that Rav Nachman was opposed to his arrangements, approached Rav Nachman personally. He says, Omerle, my time, Ovid Marochi. He says to Rav Nachman, why are you forcing him to give the matzah? Why are you obligating him? He's a kohen. Omerle, he says, it's only for personal use, not in a commercial setting. Omerle, the chiosar of Achabar Chanina, when he came at the Rim, he came from Dorim, from the south. Omer, he said, Rav Shimon Levi, and also all the other elders, Bechodzikne Dorim, Omer, they said, it doesn't work. In fact, Koya in Tabach, if it's a commercial Koya and butcher, Shtayim Shal Shabbosis, Potim Namatonis. First 2-3 weeks, he's exempt from giving Matonis. It doesn't appear like a commercial, you know, entity, but Mekamva Elchai, Matonis past that point, once he's established himself as a commercial butcher, he's got to give Matonis. Amrali, he says, okay, at least give me 2-3 weeks. But La'abale Mar Mias Kervacha Bar Chanina, at least give him, you know, like Racha Bar Chanina's formula, at least give him 2-3 weeks. Why are you hurrying to Amelis? He says, yeah, Hanimi, that's only true Hechadli Kava Mascha, so he hadn't really established himself as a butcher, but if he opens a store, he's online, Aval, oh, here, Hakava Mascha, so he had a grand opening. It's clearly a commercial entity, it's a store, in which case he's Chayiv right away. Now, how serious is this whole Matana's obligation? Amar Avchizda, Haikahana, Dele Mafresh Matanta, Lavi Bishamta. The Elkei Yisrael, a Kohen, who refuses to forward the Matanis from his butcher store, he shall be under the spell of a Shamta, of a Cheir of Hashem, Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila. In fact, actually came true. Hani Tabachi de Hutzel, these butchers of Hutzel, Kaim Vivishamta, the Rav Chizda, Ha Esrim, retired in Shnin. It's already 22 years that they're under the spell of Rav Chizda's Cheir because they fail to comply. Now, what's the point of mentioning this? L'may hechasa. Ilema de sulam shamtinu. Is it to tell us that, look, they've already been excommunicated and we don't have to go and... There's no point in adding a new one because they're already under that spell. So there's no point in making further effort to... V'atani, we have a braisa that we do anything to force compliance. But medva mamurim, what do we say? That we only apply 39 lashes in terms of the Malkus punishment, that's when it's being applied as a punishment for past offenses, but when it's being applied as a means to enforce compliance for the future, it's unlimited. A person violates a leisa say, so it's on account of a punishment, 39 and no more. Aval mitzvah say, but if a person has to be encouraged and spurred to fulfill a mitzvah say, aval mitzvah say, going aymer loy, I'll say a sukkah, see him sitting there with a sandwich out of the sukkah, we say, go ahead, make yourself a sukkah. And he refuses, v'eni oisa. Or a lulav, v'eni oisa. I'll say tzitzis. Here, where's your tzitzis? V'eni oisa. In this case, we go all out, the bezin forces him. By all means. Mak and oisa, we strike him until he expires. So the people in Hutzal should be forced to comply as well. Ella the kansin less rice. Rather, his point was that they're fully aware of the fact that they have a chirim on them. We don't have to forewarn them again before we punish them. We give them a knas without for punishment. As we find, kihada Rava, as Rava did, kanes atma. If you would know of a butcher who's not complying with the halachas of matanis, he would confiscate the full thigh. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kanes Glima, he would confiscate his garment. Now, how many kayhanim do we give this to? It's a rather significant chunk of the animal. Amar Ramar Chizda, Israel Le'echad, Israel goes to one kayhan, Vekeva goes to another, Le'echad, L'chayayim, with the tongue, L'shnayim, is split between two kayhanim. That's the proper way to allocate it. Ain't is that so? That it's only four kohanim in total. Okay. Also, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Amar, he would say Marav and Etzisho Palginlu Garma Garma Etzisho. They would split it piece by piece and distribute it to many kohanim. Hasam by the tour. That's talking about a big bug, a big animal, a bull. But a light animal, four kohanim is sufficient. Amar Rabba Barachan Amar Biyachan. Also Leechol. You know, when it comes to produce, so prior to tithing it, it's considered tevel. And it's very prohibited. But in terms of a behemoth, you meant to separate the Zeraya, etc. What if you haven't yet separated? Is the animal forbidden at this point? So does the separation permit it? Or is it just an obligation you have to do ultimately? But until it happens, it's still mutter to eat the rest. Also lechel, v'behemah, shleihur matnes. So you may not consume before separating the matonis. In fact, Amar Avraba Rav Chana Rav Yechanan. So Rav Chana quotes Rav Yechanan, kol echem behemah shleihur matnes. If one consumes prior to separating the matonis, ki lo echel tefalim. We treat it as always eating tevel, but the Gemara negates that. The Gemara disregards this point. It's certainly a chiyuv, but we're not going to say it's asur. We're not going to say it's like tevel. Amar Rav Chisda. Furthermore, regarding matonis, it's not just a personal gift. It's something that Hashem is granting to the Kehanim, and therefore he must ensure that he eats it in an honorable, respectful, almost gourmet fashion. Amar Rav Chisda, matonis kuna ein necholes el etzli. It must be eaten roasted, ve necholes el bechardel, accompanied with a dip, with a mustard, my time of why. Amar kro le mashcha. The matonis kuna, ala mashcha, which means legdula, with royalty. The way the royals eat their meals. You're not eating personal food. It's off Hashem's table. So this doesn't just apply to the Israel Chayim. Karbana is everything else. The Kohen has to eat it in a unique way. In a manner which befits royalty. Speaking about royalty, so all those gifts to the Kohen, you have to give it to a Kohen who appreciates it, who knows how to eat it with royalty, who understands, you know, food preparation. Called Kohen Sheini Boker Ben, a Kohen who's not proficient in preparing the food in a royal fashion, Ein Nois Neimatani, you wouldn't give it to him. So choose your recipient carefully. Make sure he understands how to cook it properly, how to present it properly. V'lav milsi. The Gemara says, well, actually, it's not so. Although ideally, you should be eating it l'mashcha l'gdula, but you can give it even to a regular kohen who is not an expert cook. How do I know that? The Sanya of Shimon Omer. There's a different stipulation that, in fact, is critical. Kol kohen she'ena moide b'avoida. A kohen who's not moedav, doesn't recognize the avodah of Hashem, Rashi says. He doesn't take avodah seriously. Sh'amar b'liboy, t'vrei hevelhein, v'litziva hamokim lakrila karbonos, ela Moshe b'adam m'libo, Moshe Rabbeinu concocted all these karbonos, it's not from Hashem. He doesn't have the proper attitude. Ein lo yichelek b'kuhuna, he's not entitled to any portions of karbonos, etc. Shnemar, how do we know? Hamakar was dam ashlamim as a chaylev ne'ar leitia shekim lamon. Who gets the shayke yamin from the bnei yaron? The one who's makar dam ashlamim. And we learn only a kohen who appreciates, who recognizes, who's committed to the system. He gets portions of the carbon. Now the pasuk here only mentions, you know, the delivery of the dam to the mizbeach, the chaylev. Ein li ela zeb levad. So perhaps from this pasuk we only see that it's important for the kohen to be committed to these forms of work. What about the other forms of avodah? Does he have to be committed to those also? Yep. Menai l'rabbis chamesh esri avodahs. What about the 15 different types of avodahs? Those two? Kigoyin hayitzikos, for instance, the pourings of the oil on the mincha, v'ablilos, mixing up sisos, cutting into pieces, amlichos, salting, tnufos, waving back and forth, agoshos, tapping the mincha to the mizbeach, v'ktmitzos, right, the kmitzah of the mincha, v'ktoros, the burning on the mizbeach of the you know, the kaimetz, v'amalikos, the malika process done to the birds, return to the next amud, v'kabolos, receiving the blood, hazois, sprinkling blood on the mizbeach, v'ashkoa soita, giving the soita to drink, or rifas aglarufa, beheading the aglarufa, taras mitzaret, the purification process applying to mitzaret, and says kapayim, Brachas Kehanim, Bein Bifnim, whether in the Beis HaMidosh, Bein Bechutz, whether outside, Beis HaMidosh in the shuls. He has to be committed to the entire itinerary. Everything is critical, and if he doesn't believe or agree or is not committed to any of these, he is excluded from the system. Tamalayma, mi b'nei Aaron. Pasuk says b'nei Aaron. We learn from there, avoida hamusur v'nei Aaron. Regarding all these matters, all these forms of service which are imposed, which are attached to b'nei Aaron, v'chal koyin she'ne moide ba, ein lechalik b'kehuna, unless the koyin is fully agreeable and committed to the system, he loses his entitlement in receiving any benefits. Okay, so we see this, in fact, is critical. This is a precondition. Time with any made the book. So apparently, only if he rejects any of these, then he's out. But how made the book? But if he's totally into these things, committed kayin, then he's entitled, even though he's not a gourmet cook. Avagav, any book he bans, even though it's important, but it's not considered a precondition. It doesn't disqualify. Okay, so summation. Delivering the matanes can be even to a kehenes. In fact, we have chachamim who ate on account of their wives. A mixed breed between two behemoths. That is learned from imshur, that qualifies for matanes, between a behemoth and a chayim. Rebbeleza says potter. Chachamim say chayiv. According to some, it's 50% on account of the behemoth aspect. And some say actually it's 100% on account of the imseh, which is the rabbi says akoy. A b'chor is exempt from matonis if you got mixed in with a her. If it's all owned by one person, then he's exempted from one. If it's owned separately, then each one can claim, look, mine is the b'chor, and they're exempt. So although the chiyuv applies to the animal owner, but really the butcher has to look after it. Meizev chiyah zevach, the animal is owned by a kohen or a goy, there is a p'tur. If they're even a part owner, it's a ptur, but he had a chiddush that a kohen tabach has to forward the matanis. The exemption only applies to personal shechita, is not in a business commercial setting. We learned about the importance of the matanis. In fact, there will be penalization applied to those who don't comply. We spoke about eating it l'moshcha l'gdula k'derech sham lachem oichem. All the best to you. Thank you for joining, and that's Lachem Rabbah.